At the start of this show, hello, welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where David Dennis is the guest today. Hello, David.
Two Chainz.
You know, something very strange happened this weekend. Alabaster called. Very, very strange. I don't know why he wanted me on the show. Now, why would he want me back on a show? You may say, it's just debatable, but...
Whoa, who would say that?
But
not you.
Why would he want me on the show?
Wow. Brian Windhorst really is the number one person on the internet right now. And we need to talk about that too, Alabaster. So play the music. Let's start this show. Please. It's ridiculous how I've spent 5 days just consuming Brian Windhorst memes, David Dennis Jr.
Brian Windhorst and Usher.
You have too.
And Usher. Has there been a TikTok voiceover, lip sync thing? Because I feel like with Stephen A's greatest rants, you can find some 20-something-year-old girl doing it word for word. It's incredible. I hope that we do the same thing for Windhorst.
Absolutely. Alabaster, how was your holiday weekend?
It was lovely. How was yours?
It was all right.
Nobody cares. Get to the menu.
All right, let's get to it. This is what I was digesting all weekend, and that is the crumbling of Dominique's beloved Kevin Durant's legacy as he leaves the Brooklyn Nets in flames. And the question I have to ask you all, where do you want to see Dominique's beloved Kevin Durant play next year?
So personally, very selfishly, I want him to be right where he is, man. I just started sitting courtside at these Nets games. I was getting ready to watch Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons for just be the perfect duo of skills complementing each other. And I'm not ready to give that up just yet, honestly. I think we're getting reporting that's just it's going to be hard to make this deal happen, right? He requested the trade on Thursday, the day after Kyrie opted in. I don't know where this is going to go. I'm just saying, why are we just saying automatically that Brooklyn is going to be not the place?
Such a terrible reason. You kick off my first day back from a holiday with, I want him there so I can sit close to him. That's just, I would assume that maybe the Western Conference would, any team in the Western Conference, frankly, any competitor Western Conference seems more interesting to me, because then we are likely to get a Golden State versus Kevin Durant matchup. We're not getting a Golden, or in the playoffs at least, we're not going to get a KD versus Golden State if he stays with the Nets. Because no matter how you try to bend your mind to make it fit New Jersey, in Brooklyn, that team ain't it. Whatever it is, whatever the ingredients are that all seem like they should come together and be great, they ain't done it yet, and I can't see it happening. So I guess the Suns would be nice.
The word is want, Dominique. Decided to answer the question for the first time in my life and tell you what I personally want. So what do you want as a noted gas bag?
I want him in the Western Conference so we can get a playoff series with KD versus Steph. That's why so maybe it's the Suns. That would be a reasonable. I know there's lots of weird. I tried to teach myself this morning all the cat ramifications, but then I was this is dumb.
So many ramifications.
All the weird rules about designating certain players. I'm not a GM or an agent. I'm a glorified fan. So I want him to go to, Memphis, maybe anybody in the West that we can get some sort of first or second round or even conference final matchup with the Warriors.
Wait, so David, as Steph Curry's surrogate on cable news. When Dominique is saying all of this, what is going through your mind?
You know what'll have Kevin Durant as a 0% chance to play against Stephen Curry in the playoffs? If he joins the Warriors again. I don't want Kevin Durant to join the Warriors because there are a lot of the Warriors have the best package. On a basketball standpoint, they have the best package. They have the young, they have Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, and they have picks. And if you want to do pool or whatever, and Wiggins can't go, we got to remember the rookie rule. Wiggins can't go if Ben Simmons is there.
Because Ben Simmons is there.
Which is sort of tricky. But they have the best basketball package. I don't think the Warriors want to do it. I think the ownership is very happy with this idea that they can compete for 10 years with these young guys. And if you bring KD in, then in 2 years, you got Draymond and Klay that may have to end up on a different team. So I think ownership kind of likes the idea of building from the ground up again. But I kind of would love the moment that KD announces that he's going to the Warriors. Like that, like 48 hour like chaos on the internet
if the question was which team do you want to see Kevin Durant announce that he's going to, you would pick the Warriors.
Yes.
But after that,
I just want to live in those 2 days where he says I'm a war, where he posts like on Players Tribune, I'm back to the Warriors or whatever.
the same JPEG.
Like I just want that amount of chaos.
I just want to know if that's part of your title as like senior ESPN package analyst, because like you determined that the Warriors got the best package. Like it was four times aggressively determined that they got the best package. I'm not so sure that I like the Warriors package better than other packages around the league. That's all I'm saying.
So which package are you looking at, Dominique? Because the Warriors have a plus 1400 odds on their package. And when you look through your telescope, your telescope eye at these packages,
right,
what do you see bulging conspicuously
and tickling
your fancy?
I mean, it's not tickling my fancy yet, but I mean, the bulge in the package in Phoenix, I like that. That Ayton, and I understand, again, I do not understand, actually, all the different cap ramifications that could come with it, but based on those odds down there, I feel like that means there's a good chance that it could happen. So I like the bulge in the Phoenix package, because we're talking packages.
Yes.
I'd be uncomfortable, Pablo. You can't do it. It's impossible.
Why is anyone
I mean,
comfortable you started it, David.
I mean, I regret it.
You went 13 times talking about how nice the Warriors
guys
package is.
Grow up. There is nothing wrong with inspecting trade packages for conspicuous talent bulges.
It is a hoochie daddy season, and you know, KD is the biggest hoochie daddy of them all. Everybody wants to see what is going on.
If you are putting your package out there for people to discuss, then I have no choice but evaluate your package. Stop throwing your package around if you don't want us to talk about your package.
Wait, Alabaster, are you coming in here because you're intrigued by the Raptors package?
No, I'm coming in here to let you know that this innuendo is a lot less funny than you think. So we should get back to the basketball. But then second of all,
innuendo.
I really have to ask one question on this. And Kevin Durant is awesome. All my hating aside, he's incredible, and he raises the floor and the ceiling of any of these teams. But I do wonder, with the haul that you're going to have to give up after Rudy Gobert reset the market, do any of these teams other than the Warriors become an instant contender, like an instant title favorite with Kevin Durant? Because I'm not sure they do.
Toronto. I think Toronto does.
Well, first of all, quality producing right there, because you're right. I mean, we have to acknowledge that you're good producing. The package joke's tired and worn out, and we ran into the ground. Second of all,
yep. Again, package was a little flat.
Yeah. Again, the Suns. Like, I understand how much they have to give up, but I assume that Booker's going to stay, that you have a dearth at center, but center is the one position that it feels like, given that the Warriors won the title last year without a real legitimate center playing like extended minutes. It feels like that's the position that you can give up. And so I think the Suns fall into that category.
How are we not saying that the Warriors are they just won the title?
No,
like,
right. Except for the Warriors. The Warriors are
except
given.
For the Warriors.
The Warriors are locked. Okay. They're locked in.
I
like Toronto with Durant. You got Van Fleet. Yeah. I imagine they're going to keep either Siakam or their rookie out there. They're not going to
Scotty Barnes.
They're not getting rid of both of them for Kevin Durant. That's solid. I mean, and you know, Ujiri probably will not be done. And, you know, you may get Joe Harris in the deal. I think that Toronto looks like a really good team in the East. I mean, obviously, I think I would still put Milwaukee above them, but Toronto still looks like they have a good shot with KD. And I think they might be like the dark horse not dark horse. They're only their second in chance odds, but I think that they got a good shot.
Yeah, I you know, it does raise the question, though, right? Like, what is actual equal value for a team trying to win in the present tense? What does it actually look like? There is nothing. And there's nothing, because in the NBA, I mean, it's true. Like, the aphorism is true. Four quarters do not make a dollar in the NBA. Kevin Durant is a big ass dollar, right? You're going to throw Pascal Siakam at that, some picks at that. Nothing is the same. Nothing is that value. And so I don't think any of these teams are automatic title favorites, except for the Warriors, who just won the title. I mean, the team that actually I am proud of us. I'm proud of us, actually, that none of us said the Lakers. I'm proud of us that nobody said that we want to see him on the Lakers. But to me, and you know, they're not in the odds here, right? I understand that. They're long, long odds that Kyrie needs to be involved. And I read the article. I didn't understand the article myself. Full disclosure. But it can happen. That to me feels
I think the Clippers are more likely destination, although also unlikely. I think the Clippers are more likely LA destination, which, like, as we all have, like, come to understand and accept, the modern game is about wings, like two-way wings. I feel like is how you identify or how you determine how far a team is going to go. Is they have those two-way wings that can take over a game, and you presumably Paul George has to go to Brooklyn. You pair up Kawhi with, or hopefully a healthy Kawhi who can play a fullish season and be ready to go into like that blackout Kawhi when he was the best in the league for like
that's a
two-year process.
Combination.
Like those two guys together seems like scary. So that's a possibility there. A well-coached team, a well-funded team. They have no reason not to succeed. I think the question there, or the question anywhere, honestly, is about culture, which is amorphous and tough to determine. But I think that was the major failing. It feels like that was the major failing with the Nets was like the culture and commitment of everybody involved.
Leaving Golden State, like, we've seen guys who like have good relationships and they ruin it, and then they start like just going out and having these weird dating things, and it's sort of a disaster. Like, leaving Golden State and then teaming up with Kyrie and then teaming up with Kawhi and all of his stuff seems like KD is like that would be what he's doing, like trying to get that old thing back. And just a calamity. Like, I don't know if you want to do something. Like, who knows when Kawhi is going to play?
Yeah. So it's not the same thing insofar as we all believe that Kawhi Leonard actually cares about winning the title and not the regular season at all, for very different reasons than Kyrie. I think there is a motivational difference there, although the net effect of not playing a bunch of regular season games is probably going to be remarkably or scarily similar.
Right.
But Alabaster is demanding in on this.
Except,
I will
please,
just say this before, I mean, come on. We know what the please within the parentheses, written like a serial killer, really is telling us. I just want to say, if I'm the Nets, what Dominique said, you're giving me Paul George, that's the best player that I have seen acquirable in all of these hypothetical scenarios that none of us really understand, but please continue.
So a couple things. One on the Clippers thing, which I think makes it a bit sticky for them, a stickier situation, is they've already gave up all their picks to Oklahoma City to get Paul George. Mm. So their package is not really any different than the Lakers one, except for Anthony Davis is better than Paul George. So it's like, if you're going to do that one, it doesn't totally make sense. But I want to go through a few trade scenarios with you guys.
Of course you do.
And see if you guys would do it. The first one that I find fascinating, because it's been bantered about for years, the fit in Boston. Would you trade Jaylen Brown and picks for Kevin Durant? Obviously, and salary filler. In this imaginary world, we're hammering out the details of the deal.
I would spend 0.5 seconds before I said yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me that. Give me that.
I would take 2 full seconds. I would have to mull it over longer than Pablo, because I do have a soft spot in my heart for like culture and team and that sort of stuff, that I believe that they're building something in Boston. However, Kevin Durant is too damn good. You can bring whatever attitude that you want in there, drop him in, and all those issues that you had in the finals. Like, I legitimately believe if Jason Tatum did not like kind of disappear in the finals, they would have won the championship. And Kevin Durant replacing Jaylen Brown, he can actually dribble into the lane and not turn the ball over. And he's a very, very good defender when he wants to be. So the name of the game is winning championships. And I think everyone stays healthy, that team is the favorite. You drop him on that right. team, they're the favorite.
So that's 2 seconds. I have 1 point. I have 0.5. Yeah. David, what are you spending?
I'm negative 10 seconds because I'm calling them and like begging them to take Jalen Brown. Like the Nets are not offering me this deal. I'm calling the Nets and saying take Jalen Brown because you can fit KD into that team already. The culture is already there. Yeah. He just takes Jalen Brown's place and is better than him pretty much across the board. I mean, I understand you think you can have a 10-year window with these two guys, with Brown and Tatum, but you have a huge window for 2 years with KD and Tatum.
I think the major
plus the
problem,
idea.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, wait, what do you got? What you got, Dom?
I think the major problem. I think the major problem with the 10-year window idea is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, like, I would get it if they just won the championship, or if Chris Middleton wasn't hurt. I would get the idea that like we have a championship level roster that we may be able to extend for an extended period of time if we don't trade anybody away. But the problem is, I don't know if they're being honest in their most honest moment. Like a full strength Bucks team is going to beat them, and Giannis ain't old. So like that 10-year window is pretty small. I feel like I'd rather have a 2-year window that's wide the hell open with Kevin Durant than a 10-year window that has a big Giannis standing in front of it.
Wow. Window architecture, Alabaster. Is so, where I want a porthole. I got a porthole that can fit my body through cylindrically. Yeah.
I have another idea. And this one is to your point of someone who believes in small windows, and that is Pat Riley. He goes big fish hunting. He tries to win now all the time. And he manages to turn guys who are undrafted into valuable role players and rotation guys. But they have the issue of, you know, they can't trade Bam Adebayo to be on the same roster as Ben Simmons. I have a question for you on this one, because I think this is fascinating. Would you flop, if you're Miami, Jimmy Butler, who was the best player in this postseason above Kevin Durant before the finals when Steph sort of took the torch, would you flop Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo for Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant?
Wow, that question actually got me to like forget the flop joke I was going to make about the Miami Heat. This is the ultimate test of what Dominique was just saying, right? Like, so I'm going to spend 3 seconds on this because I simply believe
I'm
that
point
if
five
you're the
this,
Miami
just so,
Heat,
just so you know, I'm 0.5 on this.
Okay, so I say 3, Dominique, and David, I want to hear what you have to say about this too, simply because if you're the Heat and you're all about culture, like you need to take a second or 3 to think about like, wait a minute, is this just going to give up the whole game here? That has always been a sham. You know, that's the only reason why. But other than that, yes, of course I'm doing this trade. That's an amazing trade for the Heat.
Yeah, if I'm the Heat, I'm no time at all. I'm doing this. Even if Ben Simmons does, like, I would trade Jimmy Butler and Bam for KD, like, alone. And so if you get Ben Simmons as a net, any net positive,
treating him as just a throw-in,
right? Yeah. Like if you can get, I think if the Heat are going to be involved, it's got to be a 3-team trade somehow. But yeah, if you get Ben Simmons to do anything, that's more than you would need for the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, in the Heat, I believe the people who run the Heat, from the ownership all the way down to the coach, no one actually like believes in the Heat culture thing, right? Like it's something that the fans have built up around them. Is I guess they believe in a culture that they built, but I don't think that any of them actually like say Heat culture and mean it as a thing that's supposed to actually mean anything to them. So when they brought in LeBron and Chris Bosh, like, yeah. They're completely comfortable with living in the modern NBA. So I'm sorry, fair. Jimmy Butler, while he was possibly the perfect fit for Heat culture, he also was not a good fit. He was trying to fight the coach, who is, I think, the
no, that's the, Heat culture. Come on, Dominique.
Udonis Haslem is on his way to your house as we speak.
Oh, I know. That's the question. Is Udonis still on the roster? In which case, all things are still culture.
UD will always be on the roster, trust me. But yeah, I don't think that hurts Heat culture. And I think the best thing about having like a defined like brand of culture is what they have. It's kind of like what New England has in football, is you've already bought in once you show up. So like everyone in the NBA knows about the conditioning test. Everyone in the NBA knows about like the restrictions on weight. Everyone in the NBA knows how they build up players to get them better. So like it's very different than in Boston that has like a burgeoning culture that they're building, that is like established. So like if Durant shows up, he's coming there fully bought in to like participating in this culture. So I don't think it's as much of a problem to build around that. And when you get like little known guys to bring in, they've bought in also. So like that might be a team that I could see as a championship contender if you drop Kevin Durant on that roster.
And nothing.
The problem, but Dave, hold on. Can I just interject here? The problem is that if you're the Nets, I don't want this. Yeah. You're setting me Jimmy Butler and Bam out of my like, great. So, like, I don't know. No, thank you.
Well, I mean, if that gets them to the conference finals, which is what that combo did in Miami, but the problem is that combo had a well established coach with lots of credibility on and a team that has been consistently competitive for the last couple decades, and that's right. Not what that's we have in well. Brooklyn. They got jerseys with like Kuji print on it though.
I think the Nets would want Hero or Robinson for sure.
Oh yeah, you got it exactly. It has to, you have to throw in one of the.
I feel like Miami would be begging them to take Robinson. It doesn't seem like they are happy with the money they have invested. in the right
Correct. That is all right, true.
I got one more fake trade and then an update on the back end. But first, I want you guys to think about this one. What makes sense to trade Kevin Durant for? How about the next Kevin Durant? Can I interest you in a homecoming? Chet Holmgren plus 5 first-round picks and salary filler? Because, you know, the Thunder have, like, unlimited draft capital. And, you know, Sam Presti could go full Palpatine and be like, unlimited power, and trade that to Brooklyn and restock their assets.
I'm saying no if I'm OKC.
Like,
it seems... I mean, one, we don't know what Chet Holmgren is, and Chet has the potential to, like, be a star. Like, legitimate, he has the potential. I don't know what the percentages are we would put on it, but very few guys enter the league where we're like, hey, this is, like, a cornerstone, could be a cornerstone of the franchise. I think it's more likely that he won't be, but the fact that there is a chance is, like, worth going for. And also, we know what this is about. All them picks is about a man named Victor Wembanyama. So why the hell are we going to give those up right now for a team? Like, I understand my small window theory might apply here. If this team became a championship contender when KD shows up, looks like you were just born. So
the smallest window of all.
If you put KD on that roster.
It's like Ace Ventura coming out the rhino.
It's not a championship contender. So, like, I'm with Mortgage in the future. If it means that you're going to be, like, in contention, but I don't think that team is in contention if it works that future.
Let me add something to this trade. So you trade Holmgren and 5 first for Durant, and then you get in a 3-team trade with the Lakers and Nets. So Kyrie goes to the Lakers, and you bring Westbrook back. Get the band back together. Westbrook, KD, SGA can be your new Harden, and you party like it's 2012. Get back to the finals.
God, I, Kevin Durant, loudly, very loudly, to the extent that he, and by the way, this is the thing, right? Like the whole question of like, why is this happening? We still don't know. Like, that's the best part about this. Like, we're theorizing as to what the Nets did to KD or didn't do enough, but like, we don't know. The only thing we do know is that we're at this point where if Kevin Durant or someone of that stature says, I want out, he's getting out. That's how this works now. I mean, because Dominique, like the Kyrie aspect of this, right? Like, right. It's fascinating because Kyrie is so credibly unreliable that everybody is truly terrified of trading for him if he's not explicitly saying, I want to be on your team, Los Angeles Lakers. I get the Kyrie thing. It's kind of like crazy like a fox. It's actually strangely and perhaps totally accidentally brilliant. But Kevin Durant, like, the question of what would he play for and with whom, to me, this is where we're sort of like exploring something of a new ground with a 4-year max contract that's remaining.
So in this story, like as you guys established and made a joke out of, like I carry water for Kevin Durant. So I have complete sympathy for Kevin Durant and I'm always rooting for him in all scenarios. But like the general public, is there a victim in this? Like, I know that Kyrie is probably the top villain, but I don't get the sense that people are angry at Kevin Durant. I don't get the full sense that people feel sorry for him. And the same is true for the Nets and Josiah. Like, I don't get the sense that people are, like, really sympathizing with what happened here. Because, like, you could reasonably put together argument that, like, we feel sorry for the billionaire owner of the team because he brought in all these guys and it didn't work out. But it doesn't feel like that because of – I don't exactly know, because it seems like he tried to buy a championship. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like the general public – has someone to root for, just a bunch of people to root against.
I think I think that speaks to the entire Kevin Durant. Like, I think Kevin Durant, this is my larger Kevin Durant theory, is that he is the most talented basketball player. No, most talented athlete. No, most talented celebrity who does not have a hive. Like, there is no
hive.
Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant is the most respected and probably feared, one of the most respected and feared athletes, but he does not have, like, if I were to tweet LeBron James is not Mount Rushmore, there will be a million, you know, LeBron James Abbeys in my mentions. If you do this on national TV, apparently Steph Curry fans will come at you. Harden, Westbrook, but KD has no hive. There is no KD hive for whatever reason. There are no people who will just ride out for KD in the way that Dominique does. You're the president of the hive, but to have that much talent, so nobody's going to leave the franchise. Like, Nets fans are not leaving to go join KD.
Well, that's why, like, it was kind of perfect, David. It's because you have a team in the NBA, in the Brooklyn Nets, that should have a bigger fan base and doesn't, with a star in Kevin Durant who should have a bigger fan base and doesn't. And when that divorce happens, it's sort of like if a tree falls in a forest and there's no, you know, and there's no simp to see it. Did it really make a sound? Yeah.
To hear it. Why would you see a sound? But yeah, David, I have high expectations for Pablo because he does a show every day. So I'll let you slide on the fact that you said his hive doesn't have a president. When everyone knows hives have queens, It's a hive with a queen, which I am, but we don't have any worker bees.
No, I believe in the democratic process monarchy, so I'm going with president here. So it's day after the 4th of July here. We're trying to celebrate democracy.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, of course. I was waving my American flag, as I am wont to do, singing proud to be an American, just like I usually do every 4th of July.
Get us out of here, Alabaster, before I get us fired.
All right. I do think it's worth noting that you do have a co-hive president in our buddy Bill Simmons, who always, you know, he's not afraid to tell you that Durant went toe-to-toe with LeBron in the 2017 and 2018 finals, but I digress. Let's move on.
Ugly toes, too. Like, both of them putting those toes across from each other. Oof.
Yeah. So, guys, yeah. I got a question. I'd love some passive-aggressive Twitter beef. And what do you read into Jeannie Buss's cryptic tweet from yesterday?
Okay, can we get the tweet? Because there's a cryptic tweet posted by Jeannie Buss, and she said this, quote, "I miss KB. He would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. He understood team over self, meaning your awards would come if you valued team goals over your own. Then everything would fall into place, period. All can reply, period." And that's the part where I was just like, what is happening here? Like, if it didn't have "all can reply, period," with, like, all of the quote tweet and reply mentions very open, as she said, I would have dismissed this as, like, you know, a heartfelt, sort of unsurprising tribute to Kobe Bryant, which happens pretty regularly on Lakers Twitter. But "all can reply, period," indicating that there is some stuff she wants to say, but she can't, and is truly trying to sub-tweet into the consciousness of her hive, of Lakers hive. Yeah, man. I don't know.
I think this says more about a failure from her assistant, because it sounds like she was telling the assistant what to type and then was telling the assistant, make sure you put it that "all can reply" on the tweet. And the assistant was like, "all can reply," and then, like, sent tweet. That feels like that's exactly what happened. Because "all can reply" right. makes zero sense on Twitter. It seems like when you do those birthday cakes and you're like, "happy birthday," in blue, and then they put "in blue" on the cake. That feels like exactly what happened.
Can we put the tweet back up again? Because I think the "all can reply" doesn't matter to me. Like, it felt to me like subtweeting before you got there. what is the point of this? He would understand and explain everything. Where is it? He understood the team over self, meaning rewards. Yeah, like saying this about him at this moment, like it's a random time. You could take it down, though. I just wanted to see it again. It's a random time to put this up and to say that, to buy aggressively, like saying he can do this, he can do that, he did this. That speaks to a team that is underachieved. It seems very clear that you are, like, obviously speaking towards LeBron James. Like, it's,
yes.
And also, like, it's a really, like, dumb thing for her to put out there, because by saying put the team first, what you're actually saying is putting me first. So, like, it's easy for her as the operator of this team to be like, the most important thing is to put the team first. At what point have you, like, would you be comfortable with putting something else first if that was what was better for the team and better for you? I don't know that it's true. So it's just kind of subtweety and annoying and spoken like someone who, like, comes from privilege, which I guess maybe she does.
Alabaster, the whole, like, and yes, the Lakers, what they have done with LeBron, right? We can run through this very quickly here. First year missed playoffs. Second year won the title, asterisk, bubble title. Third year, first round exit. Fourth year missed playoffs. And the question is, like, as always, like, who's running the Lakers? And another thing that's funny about this tweet, Dominique, is that, like, you're the owner of the team.
Right?
Like, you theoretically have the power here in ways that nobody else in your organization has, unless you have semi-strategically ceded that power to a council of other people who all claim to have power, in which case you'd be so frustrated that you resort to subtweeting those people. But in reality, it's your freaking team.
It's also
like,
not.
What do you want to happen?
I mean, I assume that other people have addressed this also, but it's also not completely true about Kobe Bryant. Like, we act as if Kobe Bryant was never out for himself. Like,
never demanded,
spent a summer demanding a trade in the middle. Like, I don't think LeBron James has done in his off season that was as disruptive as Kobe demanding the trade that he did and going on a press tour, going on Stephen A's show and saying, I want out of here. Like, that does not, that feels very type of thing.
I guess fighting with Shaq, people could argue that he was taking the team first position, but, like, fighting with and eventually forcing out the most dominant player in basketball history, that's not great team first type of behavior. All the other stories that we hear about him,
it leads us to reckon with Kobe's Wikipedia page, which is, again, a very, like, I don't think Jeannie Buss wanted everybody to begin to criticize Kobe Bryant, but that's what you do when you valorize a dude beyond reality. And it's just a very, it's unfair to him posthumously.
There it is.
I believe that word is said more accurately.
Yeah.
Very good. Self. But also, like, yeah, if you're warring with LeBron and Russell Westbrook over, like, I don't know, a Kyrie trade, which is Alabaster, what do you think this is about? To me, it's about the Kevin Durant Kyrie thing, right? That's what this has to be about.
Yeah, it feels like this is all about, you know, subtweeting LeBron over the Kyrie trade and stuff like that. But this is particularly weird timing to me because she just kowtowed to Clutch and spent her mid-level exception on Lonnie Walker, who's exactly what they don't need, and signed another Clutch client in Juan Toscano-Anderson and Troy Brown. So it's like, you know, you can't really have it both ways. I think this is actually an interesting discussion I think Jeannie Buss for a long time has been viewed as, you know, a good owner for the Lakers, and people roasted Jim Buss for her of being terrible at it. And, like, are we sure Jeannie's good? Are we sure she doesn't bear a lot of the responsibility for the Lakers' failings?
And can we put that card back up of who Jeannie Buss said that she was working with closely on the team, please?
Oh, yeah.
Because
Kirk Rambis.
Yeah. Magic, Kirk Rambis, LeBron
Linda
James.
Linda Rambis.
And your boo, Phil Jackson, who has shown zero capability of building a team, who also called LeBron's crew a posse at one point, and there was that big kerfluffle. I just don't think, you know, maybe that's not the best for the team as opposed to, like, your own interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
No, I love this. I love Jeannie Buss, like, potentially just spending the summer doing ayahuasca with Phil Jackson and coming to grips with takes about how LeBron James is actually ruining the Lakers.
Is there anybody else on that list? Like, I just created a list in my mind of celebrities I'd want to do ayahuasca with. And I feel like it's like Matthew McConaughey,
Bill Walton. Honestly, it's Phil a lot Jackson. Of the people on this same card. It is Phil Jackson, Magic Johnson, Magic Kurt Rambis. Well, not Kurt Rambis, but LeBron. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do ayahuasca with three out of those four people.
You got to be doing something to
also
be...
Bill Plaschke, for the record. Four of the five.
And not Jeannie Buss, though. I'm not trying to do
because
then she's going to come out and then subtweet me about how I threw up and I embarrassed her at the retreat or something. Like, that's messed up. But
Kobe Bryant would never have vomited at the ayahuasca retreat.
KB wouldn't do that. But I do find all this very interesting. Like, I've made plenty of decisions in my life that I regretted. But I like to think that I take responsibility for the decisions that I made. And so LeBron has shown what he does to teams. Like, he comes in, he makes them really good, and he also, like, drains them of their resources. You knew what it was when you signed up,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, it seems weird to me that he's brought you all the things that before he showed up, you desperately needed. You needed a championship. You needed a successor. He brought you both of those things. And he also brought you like relevance and fame beyond just being the Lakers. And now you have to pay the cost. Like, to me, it feels weird to all of a sudden be like, well, Kobe would have done this and Kobe would have done that and be subtweeting LeBron when like the terms, like, you got to read the terms of the agreement. Don't just scroll down to the bottom and say, I am not a robot, and click proceed. Like, this was all there. And now she's, like, complaining about it, even though she has a ring that LeBron went and got for her, and she has Anthony Davis, who presumably is the guy you can build around going forward. To me, it just feels so, like, gross and confusing to now be upset that you actually have to pay for what you bought.
And I hope she's prepared for this. Like, she thinks subtweets are her friend. LeBron James was born in the subtweets. Like, he is going to passive aggressive. He is the key. He's been doing this for 10 years, and I hope that she's ready to rumble, because LeBron, I'm sure, has like ride the bus shirts made or like some sort of, who knows what he has.
I hope not.
Not that one.
Okay.
I advise against that one.
I assume you did not realize the innuendo there. That was a mistaken innuendo.
No, but it's on the shirt, it's an actual bus, but Jim Buss is driving it.
There we go. I like that.
There you go. All right. There we go. Nothing gets by you guys. I can't say
the metaphor.
Can't say bus. I thought
the conversation about democracy was what was going to get us fired, but instead is a t-shirt joke.
Magic school bus. There we go.
Great show. They still showing that at schools, by the way.
Yeah. All right.
They should. There should be a Magic School Bus reboot at this point. I'm shocked
sure
there isn't
that. I'm
one,
sure.
Actually.
I am sure.
They rebooted. It's on Netflix. They rebooted with the movie and everything. It's quite delightful.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
With her daughter.
So you are now also Magic School Bus, senior Magic School Bus correspondent, along with Package Analyzer. What's next, Alabaster?
Well, I got a question for you guys. Do you guys want to talk about the shifting landscape in college football, which – huge story in affecting all of college sports. Mm-hmm. Or in the last 8 minutes, do you want to talk about Joey Chestnut eating hot dogs? Up to you guys. I defer to the panel.
I kind of want to do hot dogs, but I don't know where the innuendo is going to go with these guys.
Let's go.
Oh, for that reason, give me all them dogs.
Okay.
Glizzy time.
Question. What are the chances yesterday was Joey Chestnut's most impressive victory? And we have a clip.
Oh, yes. I love owning the rights to the hot dog eating contest. Yo. Oh, no.
Nice. Good work.
Oh, no.
And to still go on a win after that. I mean, 100%. 100%.
100%. What, at the risk of inviting a part of the conversation that should not be invited into this conversation, what was being protested? It was presumably all of the meat. Was that it?
Yes. So it was a protest about the meat consumption. But worth noting, Joey Chestnut was on crutches in a hard cast for a ruptured Achilles. Yes. So he's already playing through pain. And the reason why the impressiveness, I think, can be in question is because, you know, the over-under line on hot dogs for him was 75.5, and he only finished with 63 dogs down. So you be the judge.
Did he tear an Achilles eating hot dogs?
I believe it was impressive because, as you guys know, I believe that sports must have defense. And so this was the first time that Joey Chestnut participated in a sporting event. So he had defense involved, and so he looked good. And he also won. Like, there are other characteristics of sports, including you can't have a judge determine the winner, which Joey Chestnut does not have a judge determine the winner. So it was the first time that he became an athlete yesterday. Because he played against defense. So congratulations to Joey.
But the judging in the hot dogging contest, so I should say the first story I ever wrote for SI.com
when
I started my career was a Joey Chestnut story on the hot dog eating contest. And what I learned from my exhaustive reporting, which absolutely had to be mentioned just then, is that there is a judge to rule whether or not you've had a reversal of fortune. A reversal of fortune is what they call barfing in the hot dog eating contest. So part of this sport is, in fact, persuading a judge that the coming out of your mouth was not and was just like part of the, you know, chewing process, which to me is the proof of a true athlete.
Is this what got you on Bill O'Reilly doing that story?
Yeah.
More or less.
Do it live. Every day we do it live. I feel like we may have erred in choosing the Joey Chestnut story because we're all out of material.
I have lots of thoughts here. Here's my problem with the protester. Okay, you're wearing a Darth Vader mask, right? But you're saying investigate the Death Star,
point.
Which is obviously for those of us, all of us who know, Darth Vader was running the Death Star. Protest makes no sense. If you're going to do some protest work, at least have some Star Wars plot continuity going if you're going to do that, because otherwise you totally deserve to get choked out.
I mean, or maybe Darth Vader had a change of fortunes and he is now Julian Assanging the Empire. That's what they're called, right? The Empire? No?
I'm just saying.
Yes, he's WikiLeaksing the Empire. Yeah, correct.
There you go.
Guys, I got a question for you. So Joey Chestnut broke the tie with Rafael Nadal. Nadal has 14 Roland Garros titles. Joey Chestnut now has 15 hot dog eating championships. He's 38 years old. He's won 15 of these. How many of these hot dog eating championships do you think he can win? Is he going to end up with like 30 of these? Are we going to see like a 70-year-old Joey Chestnut just dominating glizzies on that stage in Coney Island?
No. This has to be, of all the sports and competitions out there, this one has to be one that is really, really bad for you. I don't want to wish anything ill on Joey Chestnut, but I can't imagine that he's going to keep doing this to his body or his body's going to quit on him. So, no, I think before Pablo says he can eat glizzies until he's 55, I'm going to go ahead and say, no, he's got to stop soon or he is going to kill himself.
It's really about how you recover from Achilles. That's all. That's what we know about sports. Is if you can recover from Achilles, what kind of player is he going to be once his Achilles heals back up? We don't know if he can have the same thrust with the glizzy going. You know,
he's not a player.
I don't even know if that was on purpose or not. Yeah. Are we even? It was, no. Was that even? Okay. Yeah,
all David's innuendos are unintentional until we explain it to him afterwards that he's embarrassed.
That's what happens when you're just so wholesome. You're just wholesome.
Yeah.
You're just going through the day, and the next thing you know, you can't say anything.
You said thrusting glizzies. What are we supposed to do? We're just supposed to let that slide.
Yeah, what do you want me to do with that? And then you said wholesome, which I feel like is another one that I just can't let slide, honestly.
Well, guys, it's been great. I'll see you never. I'm never getting invited back on here. We're all getting kicked off the air because this is going to come. South Park all of a sudden. Way to go.
I'm going 0% on this, Alabaster, and I'm going to say it for this simple reason. A great athletic hero needs a rival, and he doesn't have that. It used to be Kobayashi. It used to be Kobayashi who was thrusting all those glizzies into his mouth, but no longer. Where is he? Where is Takeru Kobayashi.
He retired probably because this is ridiculous thing to continue to do until you're away.
I'll go 80% because he didn't. That wasn't that strong of a choke. He could have choked. I wish he'd have choked the guy while
come on,
you know, eating Lizzie. That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, just.
Worth noting.
Throwing out.
Takeru Kobayashi is banned for life for starting a fight. So that's why I hit the rivalry.
Oh, the bad boy.
Wait. Clearly, if there was anybody who was more needed at this particular moment, it was, I mean, who could have been more useful than a guy who likes to fight when you're being bum rushed by people who don't understand the Star Wars canon in service of meat, anti-meatism. I'm glad we did that one.
Me too. I think bum rush is something that you're not supposed to say anymore. I could be wrong, but.
Unhoused rush.
There we go. Well done, my friend.
I regret everything I've said for the last 45 minutes. So this has been great.
I regret
guys.
Nothing.
I'd like to apologize to Mac Jones, to USC, UCLA, and the entire sport of college football.
Regrets.
Thank you for filibustering so we can show you this Photoshop that we made of the lovely Foxworth Kevin Durant hive.
Aww.
Wow.
That's delightful.
So Kevin, if Dom makes the queen bee, yeah.
Well, he did run burner accounts complimenting himself.
Oh that's fair. True.
Yeah, he did. He did.
All right. Kevin's in the hive. We'll let him in his own hive.
You know, we should all be in our own hive. Let that be a lesson to all of us.
Be your own president of your own democratically elected hive.
Yes. Be your own queen.